getting phone calls.
Good evening, Lonnie. Right, Jerry, whenever you're ready. All right, we'll call this meeting to order. There's actually two meetings. It's the Oceana Community Service District. Tonight is Wednesday, October 23rd. It is 6:30 p.m. The first meeting is the regular scheduled meeting. The second meeting is the special meeting that has been called. Marie, can we get a roll call?
President Guerrero?
Present.
Vice President Lucy?
Present.
Director White?
Present.
Director Blackburn?
Present.
And Director Angelo?
Here.
Move on item number three, the flag salute.
Ready? Again. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. On the regular agenda, the first thing we'll do is we'll go to the agenda review. There's not much on the regular agenda tonight other than business item A. Anybody have any changes?
I move that we accept the agenda as presented.
All right. Motion.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The agenda is approved by a vote of 5-0. We'll move on to public comment. We'll do first the regular agenda item, regular meeting, and then the second we'll take a public comment on the special agenda. Is there any public comment this evening? Oh. There's two different agendas. I might as well take public comment on both because they're listed for both. So,
wouldn't you take the public comment for the second agenda at the time that you take that item up? Or,
well, what we'll do, we can, but what we're going to do is that'll be in closed session. So if you want to give comment on it now or if you want to wait till
okay.
later.
Well, I just wasn't quite prepared. I
okay.
Like a little
well, I'll take it up. I'll take it up later then and,
okay,
and go
I appreciate
ahead. That's fine.
That.
If that's more convenient to you.
I am Julie Tacker and I wanted to discuss a little glitch in transparency. Ironically, at the very end of your last meeting, Vice President Lucy tipped her hat to the Napomo Community Services District for an award they got regarding their website and how easy it is to navigate. And I do agree that that website is phenomenal. But you have something they don't have, and that is a gavel-to-gavel contract with AGP Video. And you are obligated by that contract to conduct your meetings gavel-to-gavel in front of the television cameras. Last meeting, you went to closed session early, you came out, you failed to report anything. At that time, you trailed items 6 and 7, which was again that same closed session. And item 7 was the adoption of the contract with your new general manager. You don't even have minutes this meeting for us to reflect on to see exactly how that whole thing transpired. So I want that transparency to be there. We've had a lot of struggles in this district with previous management, previous legal counsel, and I don't want to see you get off to the wrong foot with the new management, new legal counsel, and I think that could have been done better. I did ask the AGP manager, the owner, Nancy Castle, about
thank
it,
you,
and she was under the impression
any
you
other public comments
reenact the items
thank
in
you,
open
Ms. Tacker.
Session.
We'll close public comment at this time. If there's no other public comment, item number 6. There's none. Consent agenda. We don't have minutes under A. So all we have is the cash disbursements. There are an amended cash disbursements. Does anybody have any questions or concerns with the cash disbursements?
Josh, can you just summarize, where is it on the first page that you summarize the adjustments?
On the very, very first page? The third line, the regular disbursements, that's an addition, $3,547.
That they're distributed throughout, correct? Oh, great. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you. It's on page 8. Got it?
I'll make a motion that we approve the warrants.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Then warrants carry 5-0. We'll move on to item number 8A, OCSD operations. Now we will welcome Mr. Curtis. Good evening. Now you've been on the job, what, 8 days?
Something like that.
Do you want to chip in or do a tag team with Mr. Keefe, or what would your pleasure be? And one thing we have to do here is speak into the microphone. So there you go. That's fine.
Well, there's a presentation going to be made by Mr. Keefe regarding strategic planning. The operations report I'm revamping somewhat, so I'm collecting and coalescing information as the initial part starts and get going with things. So there's not anything. Operationally, we're operating just fine and meeting the requirements we need to meet. But there are a lot of little pieces in the puzzle that I'm putting together, and hopefully for the betterment of the district, and I'll present that at the next board meeting and first meeting in November.
All right, great. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Curtis. Gary, is there anything you want to?
Welcome aboard. Welcome.
Thank you.
Been a pleasure so far.
Yeah, I didn't prepare a report tonight, but I can tell you that we're still working on getting that truck on the road. They got a new hitch on it, which cost us a lot more than we thought it would. But now the next thing will be to get a class, properly licensed driver to come in, and we're going to do some road testing with it. And assuming that we're all set, then we'll move on and finish up with the traffic lights and the horn and the fuel gauge and stuff like that that needs to be fixed. So that's coming along fine. Everything else looks like it's pretty good. My big announcement for the night was that you hired a general manager, Mr. Curtis. Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to Board of Directors and Outside Committees. First one would be B1. Director Angelo?
Let me think. Joss and I both attended the meeting. And Pismo, that was what, NCMA?
Yeah.
I don't remember which one. I got too many intertwined. We attended that meeting, and there was discussion on the how much the lake had dropped down and the flow on it. That was going on up there as of the end of September. Lopez was at 54%. They're also continuing to do water sampling, and we were a little bit behind on ours. We had three samplings that they needed the information on that weren't available at that time. There was a lot of talk about trying to track development in the Pomo and other areas to see how the watershed is going to respond to that. They're also wanting to do some additional water sampling, possibly doing some more well testing as far as areas that haven't been checked in a while, some of it in the beach areas, that type of thing. So there was a lot of just ideas that were becoming available for everybody that they discussed. Other than that, it was pretty standard. Everybody gave them their numbers and they were happy.
Director Blackburn?
Well,
we did the Finance Committee. I was just thinking, though, that that's actually item A.
Yes, it is.
Why don't we just discuss it there?
That sounds good.
Okay.
No. Also, Director White and I met with our general manager today regarding the capital improvement survey that the county sent over. And there were, in general, we told them that our projects were going to be most likely the master water plan and sewer plans, and that from there we would be able to answer the questions on the survey, but at this point that we are going to have to move on with that first. There was also some question as to, one of the questions is, where might the CSD and the county partner on projects? And the things that were listed as options were parks and rec, drainage improvements, enhancements in the business district, and fire protection, with an area for comments. And we were interested in your opinion, the rest of the director's opinion on that aspect of the survey. I don't know if Director White would like to add any more to that or not.
No, that's fine. It's just that part of that survey is to find out if the county wants enough. We want to coordinate with them on some projects, and certainly a project of drainage. We have no responsibility for drainage. Watershed management, we have no responsibility for water management. They wanted, one of the questions they asked was, I'm paraphrasing it, if we wanted to work together with other agencies to get volunteers to involve themselves in clearing the creek. And I don't think that's anything we want to get involved in. So it's kind of, some of the answers were just kind of like no.
No, it's good.
But I mean, you've got to say that in a better way, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Outside of our core mission.
Right, exactly.
Maybe. Yeah, outside of our core mission. Yeah,
outside of our responsibilities.
Yes.
Anything else? All right, Ms. Lucy?
I attended the county-sponsored integrated master water regional water plan that has become a huge, huge, huge cumbersome process. So we just kept fine-tuning it and narrowing it down and narrowing it down and trying to include all the sources and broke up into sub-regions to see if we had overlooked anything. And there were a couple items that were brought up that are not in the draft, but they'll be discussed more at the next meeting. There's multi-levels to this master water plan for the county, and with the North County kind of giving us a heads up as to the future, I think that it could be a much more proactive document, and I think that there are others at the table that agree as well. So I'll keep working on that with them.
I attended the South San Luis Obispo Sanitation District. We approved a credit card policy. That was basically it. I do anticipate coming up shortly some energy, not energy, but attention. I guess energy is the right word. Some attention being placed on finding a replacement for the district administrator, general manager position that is there. And so Mr. Karp has been doing a great job. Shannon Sweeney is, you know, back helping us out. So we'd like to keep the stability going and the positive growth that we've been having this year, keep moving forward. So I do anticipate that. I was also at the Finance Committee meeting, and we'll talk about that under item 10A. So without further ado, we'll go to item number 9, which is public comment. Go ahead, Karen. Oh, wait, fire authority. We both went to that,
yeah.
Didn't we?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Reporting on the Five Cities Fire Authority. We reviewed the budget that showed that we are pretty well in line. Quarter of the year, we spent about 29% of the money, but some of that came from things like some workers' compensation that's paid for the whole year at the start of the year, so that it really reflects rather the district has done very well. And I thought a very interesting thing, it was budgeted item for $4,000, and we hired CrossFit Inferno, lovely name for a company, mm-hmm. to provide organized physical fitness training for the fire guys. Now, they have training rooms where they have all kinds of fitness stuff, but I guess in addition to all the fitness they have to perform, like carrying 50-pound weights up and down stairs in their fitness room, they are going to have a specific program that provides the specialized physical fitness training that they need. And I think for the cost, it probably would maybe keep some other firefighters from being injured. Mm-hmm. So, and what they do is they train the firefighters on the proper exercises, and then they train some of the firefighters to coach the others. But it was a budgeted item.
Yeah. That's neat. CrossFit is a neat program.
Do they? Do you know them?
I don't know of that company particularly, but the CrossFit idea in general is
intense.
It is intense, yes. And it varies a lot so that your muscles stay ready.
Yeah.
I got tired of watching them.
Karen, let me ask you, is it any time the fire department planning, the five cities planning on coming to this board and talking about the initiative that they're pushing through?
Well,
because I kind of feel like as a jurisdiction that is 33% responsible for all assets, and the people of Oceano actually bought and paid for all those services and equipment and trainings and everything like that. Now there's an initiative on the ballot, and nobody's quite sure what it is. And are we building it and giving it away again? Is that what the plan on the table is? So
well, the initiative,
guessing,
yeah,
they need to come and present to this board.
Okay. Well, the initiative isn't on the ballot. A company has been hired to put together a proposal, which will show people what the cost could be. And until that is done, we really and can see that there is no absolute decision made at this point.
Okay, so how much did they spend on that on hiring the consultant?
$24,000. Yeah.
Director Lucy, I have met with the fire chief, and he will be bringing a presentation to the board in the first meeting in November to discuss that specifically about the changes, how it's gone from one avenue to an improvement just to a ballot item and how that's being addressed now. And he'll bring the board in its entirety up to speed at that time.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, the report won't get done until December.
Yeah, right. But I still think that we deserve at least a visit.
Mr. President,
yes.
As a corollary, the Chief Hubert had contacted me weeks ago, and he was actually scheduled on your agenda, but he decided that they needed more information to present you with an overall picture.
I met him with him twice last week, and that was what they told me also.
Yeah.
I did also talk. I went to the fire meeting as well, and you forgot to mention they had cake. Very important.
And they pinned three young firefighters with their badges.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting. Their families were all there.
Yeah.
I talked to some of the union guys. There's a lot of traction or excitement being developed regarding converting the old firehouse into a museum, and they said that they have enough items from the Oceano and Grover and Rio Grande already in storage to staff a museum. And so, there's a lot of groundwork to be done and a lot of things that would have to happen, and the community would have to support it. But like I said before, I think it ties in well with the depot and helping to create a draw down here in Oceano. I have two things, two very cool historic things that could be done. So,
yeah, I agree.
Are they going to be trying to purchase the property to do that, or have they talked
well,
about
or
that?
Lease it? Okay. If they leased it, they're one big advantage. They don't need where the AA groups are meeting, because we do make income. But if they leased the rest of it, it would take away. We could work a deal where it would take away the maintenance obligations from the OCSD.
That's good. Yeah, that'd be good.
There's no details have been discussed. I mean, there's
no
money has been bantered about or anything. But just the idea of doing it.
So. I don't ask because of my involvement with the fire department. So my son and I don't talk to him about stuff like that.
So I want to see Craig do the CrossFit.
Yeah, he showed me how it was, and I went, really?
Item number 9. Anything else, Karen?
No,
okay.
Thank you.
Item number 9, public comment. Is there any other public comment regarding the business items this evening? Ms. Tacker, good evening again.
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and Ms. Angelo mentioned the NCMA, and I did see that the 2012 NCMA report is on your website. I am curious if you will have your consultant come and talk about that with you. In the past, they have.
I know that in that report each year, there are pumping records, and I know Ms. Lucy has implied that Grover Beach might be pumping more than their share, but I don't know how they would do that and not and that report not reflect that. So they seem to be under their allotment. And they've actually implemented some emergency water conservation measures, and I think those are prudent, and I think other communities should do the same. You briefly mentioned the Finance Committee, and you'll talk a little bit more about it later. I don't know if I'll get that opportunity. So I am curious where the 2012-2013 audit is. I thought we would see it in October. That's what I recall when we signed that contract with Caliber Audit and a Test. And the last thing, the Fire Authority, that's a benefit assessment district, and that's the firm that was hired is seeing the value to each property, and each property owner will get a mail-in ballot and get to vote their weighted vote. So each property will have a different assessment, but depending on its size and its improvements and what value the assessment is to them. So I too am curious how we got there. I was under the impression that forming the Five Cities Fire Authority was to save money for your three communities, and here we are just a few years later, and it's quite expensive. If indeed you want new services and you want a higher level of service, that's a community conversation you need to have, and then are you willing to pay for it? This seems to be more forced on you and threatened on you with suggestions that you're not meeting OSHA requirements, and trust me, I've seen that movie before. So I hope we can, with so few people in the room, maybe I can participate in the mission statement and strategic planning discussion. I hope you don't make any decisions on that tonight. You should bring in mission statements, strategic plans from other communities, see what they've done, and certainly bring all your old ones, dust them off, and don't reinvent the wheel, because the wheel is very complicated. So to do it from here, just pick up the pieces and move forward. But I'm very curious to see the PowerPoint presentation, and I look forward to it.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right. Hearing none, we'll close public comment. Move on to item 10A, which is a business item. This is the result of the Finance Committee meeting that we had. What day was that? About a week and a half ago, wasn't it, Jennifer? Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one that can't remember. October 11th. October 11th, we had a Finance Committee meeting. And what I'd like to see happen here is I would like to see the OCSD change its paradigm of the way of doing business. And instead of reacting to crisis, that if we manage the OCSD and get the assets under control, things will operate a lot better. And there's a couple of things that happened. I'll give my history on how this started, and a couple of things that happened earlier this year. A lot of happened earlier this year, but a couple of things that got us to here. One was the change of management at the sanitation plant. Shannon Sweeney came on board. You'll remember me presenting on it earlier. And she did what was called a pro forma. I don't know why they call it a pro forma, but what it was is she went back about 4 years back on the budget. She had this year's budget, and she projected out for 5 years. And what you saw when you looked at it was that, yeah, you may think that you're financially solvent because you have $3.5 million in the bank, but when you project out 5 years, you're actually $10 million in the hole. And she did a line item and did things like maintenance, capital improvement, employee wages, benefits, healthcare costs,
a fine that was levied by the state against the sanitation plant. All of these things were accounted for in this budget, and you can see, and this is a living, breathing document. And it was very educational. She was able to do it rather quickly. The other thing that was happening here at this time was our yard supervisor, Aaron Hughes, was coming to me. This was in April. And he was saying to me, "Matt, I got all these projects that need to be done. I don't know how much money I have to spend. How do I figure out how much money I have to spend?" And Aaron and I, we coined the phrase that if it's in the budget, it doesn't exist. And the problem is that Aaron wanted to do certain repairs and he wanted to do certain maintenance, which he's required to do, and we'll get to that in a second. And it was not in the budget, so it didn't exist, so it wasn't getting done. And the problem was, it wasn't Aaron's fault. The problem was is that it hadn't been in the budget for many years. And so with the management changes and such, we'd lost our institutional memory. We've seen this with updating permits and compliance issues because that we don't have a master calendar. And these things need to be accounted for. And so, for example, the jetting that needs to be done in the sewer system, that was supposed to have been done every couple of years. Hasn't been done since at least 2006. There is no valve exercise program. And so Aaron was talking to me about it. And he says, you know, we're going to break a certain number of valves. And he didn't have a percentage, but he said, some of these valves are going to break because we know that they don't turn. And when we go to exercise the valves, we don't have replacements. And there's nothing in the budget to replace these valves that are going to break, just as a matter of course. And so the other thing about, like, even a valve exercising program, that requires a certain amount of staff time. It requires a certain amount of material costs. And none of this is projected out in our budget. And so we're at a pivoting point here, I think, with the district. We have a new general manager, and Gary's been here for a number of months. He's gotten us over the hump. We have new legal counsel. We have two relatively new board members. And what we need to do is develop a same kind of program and anticipate our needs out. We need to build our capital improvement needs. We need to build our capital replacement program into it. We need to build in all of these things, because we can't, and these are identified in the notes, and we'll go through them as briefly or as painfully as lengthy as everybody wants to go through them. But we had I'm getting ahead of myself. We need to project all of these out. We need to get our, and that's one of the great things about having Mr. Curtis here, is that he understands the needs to maintain a water and a sewer system. Mm-hmm. And so there are things that we don't know, and we didn't know until Mr. Curtis was here, and we were always running into this problem as we didn't know what we didn't know. And that, if we can get away from managing by crisis, Shannon Sweeney told me this story that when, and I may have the numbers mixed up, the year before she started in Santa Maria, because remember she's an engineer, right, in Santa Maria. The year before she started in Santa Maria, they had over 50 breaks. And so their yard guys were spending all of their time just fixing the breaks. And she said, we're going to stop doing business this way, and we're going to get our capital improvement program, and we're going to get these items fixed. And they said, we don't have time to fix them. And she said, yes, you do, and we're going to make it happen. And so we're in the same spot, I think. We're going to have to address our staffing needs. We're going to address our infrastructure needs. And, you know, it's a project. So
That's something that's been a long time coming, and I think everybody's had it in the back of their mind. But like you said, it's been a crisis management for the past 6 years, at least.
At least. One of the things
it's tough because you get people coming and going, and you get personalities that get involved, and it's like we need a plan. We need a path and a plan. Once we're there, it'll be a whole lot smoother because everybody should be on the same page then.
I realized when I looked at the earlier strategic plans, strategic planning sessions that have been had, and I think the last one was 2009, because they were specific projects,
right,
which are fine and well, but you miss the maintenance. You miss all the other things that go along with it. And we may prioritize and say, well, we need X dollars worth of repairs here and X dollars worth of repair in our priorities here, but we still know that we need all those repairs, and they'll be identified in the budget. And so the part of the take-home message, though, is that our core function is water and sewer. Mm-hmm. You know, those are our core things that we take care of here in this district, which was why we realized at the end of our session, we did it kind of as a workshop. Ms. McLaughlin and Ms. Tacker were there. And we realized at the end of our session, we need to refer this to the Water and Sewer Committee to start identifying those needs and then working with staff, working with Jocelyn, working with Tony, to figure out what needs to be done and start trying to cost it out. I don't expect it to be perfect this year, but yeah. If we don't build it, we can't fix it.
Well, beyond that, we need a longer range plan than that. It's one thing to say in the next 2 years we have to replace all the pipes on 12th Street.
Mm-hmm.
But we need some kind of a master plan
that works through.
That works beyond that. Bigger, it's bigger than just which pipes need to be fixed, and you also need a financial master plan.
Well, that's what the pro forma that was set up by Shannon Sweeney for the sanitation plan did. It laid out the expenses in each category.
Yeah,
and so, go ahead. So
yeah, but beyond that, you need capital improvement money.
Well, it went on for, how long does it go? Does it go for 5 years or seven
yes.
years? I think it's five.
Well, the consolidated plans will go 5 years out.
It goes 5 years, and it's, you know, it's like the Constitution. It's a living, breathing document that'll get changed every year. And we'll identify needs as we go, but part of the problem is we can't go out for a rate increase. We can't go out for any sort of revenue measure. First, we have to identify the need.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we can't identify the need for a revenue measure because
we don't know what we need enough to know what we need.
Did you talk about having a joint meeting?
We did talk about having a strategic planning meeting with the whole
right.
board.
Yeah.
Bring donuts and everybody sit around and. But yeah.
Well,
I'll open it up for discussion.
Well, I was just going to say. We all kind of know what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because nuts and bolts go to a manager. They don't go to us.
But
so, I mean, yeah, we know that the sewer pipes need to be fixed and the water pipes need to be fixed, and we need to see if there's a way to market water, and we need to have more money somehow. I mean, we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
So a strategic plan is not going to tell us what we know. I think it's... These two gentlemen probably know five times as much as we do, and maybe they need to get something on paper so that we could see.
But I think having it with the Water and Sewer Committee, right, will prioritize, help prioritize
what
is urgent and what can be, you know, next in line or the second level.
But we need an overall plan.
Yeah, that's the consolidated
before,
plan. Yeah.
Before you start talking about what you need to do this year, what you need
right.
to do next year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, I do believe, did you, Mr. Keefe, prepare a presentation for us? Is that correct?
Yes, but you just gave my staff report.
Oh, sorry.
No, but there's fun.
Maybe we can discuss it after he's had an opportunity to share that.
Well,
is that okay? I'm interested to see what.
Yeah, there are a number of points that we took away.
Part of it.
And Gary has, Mr. Keefe has put these into this presentation. I'll turn it over to you. I'm a professional talker, so feel free to hit the gong at any time.
Well, you've all done very well. So yes, I prepared the PowerPoint overview of what we talked about and where I think we need to go. I've got an extra hard copy of this. Does anyone in the audience still need one? Do you have one? You want one? Okay. See how good I am at pushing these buttons and getting this thing started. They told me how to do it. There. All right. Cool. Okay. So some of this is redundant. Especially after your discussions up here. But there's also some redundancy built into this because I kind of wanted to hammer home some points. And some of it's quite remedial.
Right.
I apologize for those of you that are going to think that it's remedial. But on the other hand, there's probably a lot of people that are going to want to listen to this that don't know all the things that you know.
But why don't we do one thing? Can I ask AGP maybe if you want to turn a camera on? There, we have an overhead on the...
Well, they know that.
They don't have a camera.
Oh.
It's on.
Oh, it's on. Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it.
So, As President Guerrero said, the Finance Committee had a meeting on October the 11th, and it was definitely more of a workshop than it was a business meeting. After about an hour and a half of discussion, maybe a little bit more than that, with all hands participating, they came forward with this recommendation. And you're going to see this a couple more times in this presentation. The first one was to confirm or modify your mission statement. The second was to commit to developing a strategic plan. And then refer the identification of needs, the development of the update of the asset inventory, the life cycle stuff, and replacement schedules, et cetera, to the Water and Sewer Committee for them to make recommendations and bring it back here to the entire board for approval. And then finally, to refer the plan formatting, the surveys of the various methodology and financing options back to the Finance Committee for BOD review and direction. These are some of the things that were discussed. I tried to record them all, but it wasn't that workshop format, and I'm sure I missed some of them, but it gives you an idea of what was discussed. Right off the bat was, it's irresponsible to ask for more money from our customers without showing the needs. So you got to show them the needs. The district has a mission statement that should be reviewed, and you'll see that in a minute. The district has a master plan in 2009 that should be updated. The district needs a strategic plan for how you're going to get all this done. And the types of things that we're going to be looking at are valve exercising, hydrant maintenance, backflow prevention, capacity improvements, well maintenance, motor maintenance, electrical efficiency. These are just some of the types of things that you should want to have in your overall plan. You also need an accurate asset inventory. It's a basic requirement, and it needs to include projected life cycles and replacement costs. An example would be what's the life cycle of a truck? What's the life cycle of your well? That sort of thing. The replacement fund it should be funded, and it might be appropriate for replacing some assets in particular, such as vehicles. So if you've got a vehicle that you buy and you put a 10-year life cycle on it, or 15 or whatever you pick, then you should be salting some money away every year so that when it comes time to replace it, it isn't a big burden. Your lift station, your sewer lift station, is the same type of an item. You should have a reserve policy as part of the strategic plan. You also need to project your current and future needs. They have to be projected and included in the strategic plan so you know what the outside influences are going to be as you move through this arena. And then revenues from grants, loans, bonds, impact fees, user fees, whatever. They all require capital improvement plans to be able to determine which one of those methods you might want to use. The District Water and Sewer Committee should take the lead in developing replacement and improvement plans. The District Finance Committee should take the lead in developing funding mechanisms and revenue plans. Remember that the committees are advisory to the board, and the board must be involved immediately for direction and oversight and follow-through. Public outreach during this process is critical and might include inserts in flyers or blurbs in the regular bills, that sort of thing, but it's definitely a public process. The debt that Water Fund owes to the General Fund needs to be addressed and the options discussed. And property taxes for downtown lighting maintenance compared to the fire need to be reviewed. So here's some of the remedial stuff. What is strategic planning? Well, it's a process of defining strategy or direction and making decisions on allocating resources to pursue the strategy. It requires an understanding of your current position, physically, financially, all that, and the options that you have to pursue courses of action. Generally, strategic planning deals with at least one of the three questions. What do we do? What is it that we do? What's our mission? For whom do we do it? Who are our customers? And how do we excel? The key components of strategic planning are defined in a lot of different sources, but your vision or your vision statement, it outlines what the organization wants to be. It's the long-term view. Where do you want to go? The mission statement defines succinctly, and that's emphasized succinctly, the fundamental purpose of the organization. Values are beliefs that are shared amongst the stakeholders. That's you and the community. And then the strategy is your roadmap. It's the path chosen to reach the vision. It's a combination of the goals and the policies to reach that vision. The vision, it's a descriptive picture of a desired future state of the organization. The mission is the means of successfully achieving the vision. And to be effective, they must become assimilated into the organization's culture. Everyone needs to know what we're doing. These are your existing vision and mission statements. They're posted on your website. Your vision is exceptional public service is our goal. The mission is to provide the citizens of the district with quality, innovative, and cost-effective services, including water, sewer, fire protection, and street lighting services, and other miscellaneous items through responsive and responsible local government to meet the changing needs of the community. Okay, so the very first recommendation that came forward from the Finance Committee was confirm and modify the existing mission statement, and there it is again, to provide the citizens with quality, innovative, and cost-effective services. You're going to see that again. If you decide you want to take action on it, you can do that towards the end of this presentation. The second recommendation was develop a strategic plan, and that means develop a roadmap to achieve the vision. To ensure the district is going in the right direction, it's a process for determining where the district is going over the next year or 3 to 5 years, which is generally perceived to be long term, or more, even 20 years. Where I used to work, we always had a 15-year plan. Part of the plan is your capital improvement plan, and that's your short-range plan. It's usually for 4 to 10 years, which identifies capital projects and equipment purchases, provides a planning schedule, and identifies options for financing the plan. And it links the strategic plan and your annual budgets. So when you put together your budget, you'll be following your strategic plan and trying to implement all of those goals. The capital improvement program provides a systematic evaluation of all potential projects at the same time. In other words, you put them all on a piece of paper, you look at them, and you start to figure out what it is that you need to do first. The ability to stabilize debt and consolidate projects to reduce borrowing costs. So you don't go out and piecemeal your financing. You can look at an overall picture. A public relations and an economic development tool, that's something that can be of extreme value to an organization, and in this case it probably would mean cooperating or collaborating with other government agencies. Preservation of infrastructure. You know, are you going to take care of your wells? Are you going to pull them periodically and clean them and maintain them and replace the pumps? That sort of thing. Your water mains, same type of thing. It provides for efficient public use of public funds. And it provides a way to foster cooperation amongst departments within the organization and outside the organization, and the ability to inform other units of government of the district's priorities, which is something that a couple of you were trying to do today. The capital improvement plan typically includes a listing of the capital projects or equipment that you want that needs to be purchased. The projects are ranked in order of preference. The capital improvement plan also includes a plan for financing the projects. It includes a timetable for the construction or completion of the project. It includes the justification for the project and explanation of the expenses associated with that project. The overall process to develop a capital improvement plan starts out with defining the criteria. What kind of projects or equipment are to be included? What life expectancy would you want to set? Say, do you want to list everything in that system that has a life expectancy greater than 1 year or greater than 3 years or greater than 5 years? You need to forecast your future demands and your growth. So that means looking at, you know, what you think the community is going to look like in 3 years, 5 years, 4 years, whatever, and how you're going to meet those demands. You need an inventory of existing facilities, infrastructure, and equipment. And it's not just a listing of what's out there, but also you need to know what its condition is and whether or not it's in good, whether or not it needs to be replaced in the near term. You need to develop basic policies for implementing the plan, and that really amounts to prioritization. And you need to review your current finances. That's vital. You need to know what your baseline is and what you can do to move forward and off of that baseline, because that could be very limiting. The specific steps, okay, you need to inventory your existing capital assets, and I know that's been started, but there's a lot of work there. This is a heavy lift process. You need to evaluate previously approved, unimplemented, or incomplete projects, and I know just in the short time I've been here that you've got several of those on the books, and they're not small. You need to assess your financial capacity. You know, what can you do in terms of issuing bonds taking out loans or whatever? You need to evaluate and prioritize your new projects. What are they, and how important are they? You need to develop a financing plan. You need to adopt the capital improvements program. The board needs to do that. And you need to monitor and manage all your approved projects that are within that capital improvement project that's approved by the board. Examples of water and sewer management infrastructure. You go to any other agency, this is the type of thing you're going to see in their capital improvement plan. Wells. You know, how long has it been since those wells were pulled and inspected? You know, what's the condition of the casing? Pipes, you know, is your mapping in order? Do you really know what you've got in the ground? How old is it? What size is it? What condition is it in? What about your storage reservoirs? How long has it been since they were inspected? I know you had some divers in your reservoirs not too long ago, so I think that's up to snuff. Your pumps, there's some pumps here that have some pretty scary noises coming out of them, you know, they should be looked at. Valve exercise, that was mentioned earlier. Your fire hydrant maintenance, fire hydrants need to be dealt with. It needs to have a structured maintenance program to make sure that they're functioning. Your treatment equipment throughout the system, your water meters, you've been dealing with that. Buildings and structures to house the equipment and the offices, I can see that there's been work done on that recently. What are the conditions of your manholes? Are they tight? Are they dry? Are they full of roots? I mean, that sort of thing. Your lift station is, I'm told, quite old, although it's functioning, so what sort of improvements are needed there? Your vehicles, you've dealt with that. Your jetter, your emergency generators. And of course now drainage ditches have come to my attention the last few weeks, and you've got your street lighting to concern yourself with, and I didn't realize until maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago that there are a certain number of garbage cans that belong to you. So you know, it's a long list. Here's an example of what I was talking about, vehicles. You know, this vehicle here was a workhorse of yours for, I don't know, decades. And we just surplused it. If you'd had a vehicle replacement fund in place, you could have had the cash on hand to replace that vehicle, and it wouldn't have been so difficult for you to do that. And I've discussed vehicle replacement funds with Ms. Hodson, and she understands at least my concept about how they work. And basically it means that you buy a vehicle, you plan on its life cycle, 10 years, 15 years, whatever, and you start putting the money away. So when it comes time to replace that, you've got it. This is your booster pump. This is a natural gas driven engine. That's the pump right there. When I came here and I talked with Mr. Hughes, I found out this stuff hadn't worked in a long time. And it became kind of critical because of that power outage that you had, and we didn't have the ability to maintain system pressure. So we spent some money and we got that engine running, and it's running good. We got the pump working and it's running good. So you know, what you have now is old equipment, but that's been rehabbed and in good shape that will allow you to maintain system pressure. Under really adverse conditions though, say you have a long-term power outage, one that lasts for a day or more, you're going to need another generator backup of some sort down at well number 8, because you only have enough reservoir capacity to give you one peak day's worth of water. This is your brand new jetter. All right, so we paid about $125,000 for that. That thing has a life cycle, 10 years, 15 years, I don't know. So right now you should be starting to put money away to replace that, so you can move forward when the time is appropriate. There's one of your reservoirs, same deal. I mean, that reservoir is someday going to have to be painted. It's going to have maintenance. That should all be in the plan. You've got a roof structure here and a pressure tank, all that sort of thing. Those are the things that belong in your asset inventory and need to have assigned to them a maintenance schedule. This is a drainage dish, a catchment basin, I guess is the way to see it, that belongs to you. This is the centerpiece of that stormwater management program that we talked about a while back. You own that. It is really, I think, a retention basin because there's no outlet. What it does is it captures water and it keeps it there until it percolates or evaporates and dries up. Well, I mean, you've got fencing there that needs to be taken care of. It's got to be cleaned out periodically, that sort of thing. That's all part of the maintenance schedule. All right, this is an alley. Okay, why do we have an alley? We don't do alleys. We do an alley because we got a bunch of stuff underground. This is a terrible picture, I'm sorry. This is that alley, and that's the sidewalk right there. This is the top of the sidewalk. This is a leak that we had, and right there you can see a pipe. Well, here's another look at the same hole on the other side. There's a pipe. All right, what's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with this picture is there's your curb, there's your pipe. It's like 7 inches underneath the pavement. Your standard should be, it should be like 3 feet or something like that. And, it wasn't mapped properly. It wasn't plumbed properly. Those are things that need to be fixed. So the recommendation 3 is refer the identification of our needs, the development and update of our asset inventory and our life cycle and replacement schedules to the Water and Sewer Committee to bring back to the board for approval. Recommendation number 4 is to refer plan formatting, surveys of various methodologies and financing options to the Finance Committee for board review and direction. And then you can bring those things together once you've approved your plans and move forward. So that's the final slide, I think. And this is, another shot at what the overall Finance Committee recommendations are. Confirm and modify the mission statement, commit to develop the plan, the strategic plan, and review and bring together all of your needs and your financing options to a final point. So that concludes the PowerPoint. And if you want me to move back on any of those slides, I'll be more than happy to do so.
Okay. Well, we have them in hard copy, too.
Right.
We'll attach this presentation to the minutes.
Fine.
For that. I think one of the things we ought to do is we have these 4 recommendations is, starting with number 1, the confirm or modify the mission statement. I think we should all chew on that for a while as we identify our needs and work through the other 3 recommendations, if the board chooses to adopt those, we can see how that plays out and identify what's most appropriate to us. Is the second recommendation, committing to develop a strategic plan, I think that really folds into the 3rd and the 4th recommendations. I think it becomes I think it gets absorbed by those by osmosis or something. Karen,
I was just going to say, do you do the 3rd and 4th parts of the project and the strategic plan last, or do you do the strategic plan and then go into the details with the 3rd and 4th thing?
Or do the details create the plan? I mean, to me, it's an accounting and a...
Yeah, my reaction was that this, and you guys made the recommendation, I didn't, but what I thought you were saying was, all right, we're going to do this.
Right.
And in order to do this, we recognize it's going to take a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money, mm-hmm. just to get it done.
Right.
And to get it started, if we commit to do the strategic plan, we're going to do 3 and 4. That was my reaction to this.
Right. I think they're all kind of spokes in the same wheel.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. But I think you need to look at this in the whole.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my reaction. Mr. Curtis might have different opinions. I don't know, but that was my reaction to where we were going with this. You've got to buy into the idea that you're going to get this done.
Right. And I think we have to. I think with what's my understanding this year, with what Jocelyn has done, with what Shannon Sweeney has done, is very, very educational. and I think to the board as well, as far as how to approach this problem, but we have to identify it, and this helps.
Mm-hmm.
And this problem is, you know, it's 1,000 little problems and a few big ones.
Right.
You know. Does the rest of the board think we ought to direct staff to create the asset inventory and the life cycles? Because to me that seems like a very good starting point to identifying the needs and the replacement needs. Because the asset inventory is going to include wells, sewer, mm-hmm. water pipes, trucks, buildings, carpet. I mean.
I think that it should go... First of all, Jocelyn has a lot of that from the audits that have already been in the depreciated columns and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Some of it, a jumping off point at least. I think it's a great framework to start from, I really do. I think our build out, if I remember correctly, and I'm sure I'll be misquoted if it's not, is 2020 is our build out. And our build out is 17,000. I'm pretty sure it's 17,000 ratepayers or units. Don't quote me on the 17, but I know the build out is to 2020, so I've been counting 7 years, you know, 10 years, you know, and so on. And so that's how we did it in the original Pacific Ocean Oceano plan that was done eons ago. I'm pretty sure it was 2020, and the board had decided that we had enough water to build out and enough land space to accommodate about 17,000.
Yeah, and that'll vary depending upon if the zoning issues change and that type of thing as well.
Exactly. And that was when we had, I think we had 12 egg fields at that time, and now we have 7 egg fields, agricultural fields. So there has been drastic changes, but I'd like to start by our part is by scheduling a water and sewer committee and getting the guys from the water yard up and have a committee and see where they want to jump off at and understand and then try to jointly have the meetings. But I think it's a great framework to start from. I've worked on quite a few consolidated plans, and you got to have a framework. But you also, too, is you can take outside comments to a certain point, and then you have to cut it off and work it with staff and the organization. So I think there's places for everybody, but at some point it has to be in-house.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And a buy-off, of course.
Kind of like a plan for business plans that you have to go through. We did this like with the state. We had to have a whole plan laid out for a contract with them. And you know, we ended up getting consultants to help us with it because it was very detailed. So this is going to be good because this will give us something to go forward with and know where we're at as we're going and what we have to implement and change in the future.
It's also smart spending.
Yeah, you know what you're spending money on.
Because I don't think, and I know a lot of people don't think, that raising rates is the answer to everything.
No.
You know, no. Wise spending is probably 70% of the answer, you know, and having a budget, right. You know, and planning for stuff. So, no, I'm fully in favor of moving forward with what you've put together.
We know that we have a few projects, you know, that might cost $100,000 or $300,000.
Of course.
But what we don't know is, well, in 4 years we need to buy a new truck. And in 3 years we need to buy a new trailer. And in 2 years I need to buy this. And those aren't budgeted right now. And,
yeah.
And so, I mean, we've come a long way. You know,
from just being irrigation pipes, because what Oceano started.
We've come a long way,
as.
But it's to take it, you know, to follow best practices.
Right.
You got to prepare for what
still
might happen.
Going from the bottom up.
We need a new framework. So
we're
the question
going from
is
the bottom up, or we can go from the top down, which is to prepare your strategic plan of where you want everything to be in 10 years, and then look at how you can do it. Why all the rest of this stuff?
I think we need to do both. I think we need the bottom to build it as we...
But we need the top to know where you want to build.
Well, the bottom's going to help. Yes, I agree. And the bottom's going to help identify what we have and what we need.
Got to have a foundation.
And I think we go both directions. I think we go bottom up and top down.
Yeah.
I think it's doable. I honestly think that organizationally, as we get stronger and structure and tweak stuff and have the right people on board and stuff, I think it's very doable.
I think we have the right people on board. I would hesitate to see us going into the consultant, hiring a consultant. I think it needs to stay, if we can't do it, because I think we can.
Yes.
I think there's an awful lot of brights on this board looking
and
that
and
way.
Staff.
And staff. Well, yes, right. Staff goes without saying.
Yeah, certainly don't look my way.
Yeah.
We might identify a need to hire a consultant at some point, but at this point, to me, the pivotal in this, the pivotal hub is the recommendation number 3, which is identification of needs, development, update of asset inventory, life cycle, replacement schedules to the Water and Sewer Committee. Since this is a referral to the Water and Sewer Committee, to ask that you work with that framework and identify all of these things, but it's a question and a request to staff as to whether that can be done with the resources we have, being the personnel.
Well, from what I've seen, there's a lot of stuff out there that's old and dusty that needs to be dusted off and updated. Mm-hmm. And you know, to the extent that you have current data that you can apply to that, I would think the staff can put that together, mm-hmm. and the Water and Sewer Committee can buy into it and prioritize it and do all that sort of thing, especially with the new talent you've got on board. I mean, it's just what I found since I came to work for you is you got a very motivated staff. I mean, they want this stuff to go. And if they know that the board is bought into this idea that we're going to develop a strategic plan and we need to do all of this work to get all this stuff together, they're going to make it happen for you.
Okay. Mr. Curtis, does it make sense what we're...
Yes, it does. A lot of... And I thank Mr. Keefe for giving the presentation here. We fold in and grab our mission statement, and the board embraces it, and if there's any changes or modifications, that can move forward. The more important step, though, is a foundational step, and that's your strategic plan, because that tells you where we're headed, strategy-wise, and how we're going to get from here to there. With the strategic plan, you're embracing a water master plan. You're embracing a sewer master plan. Out of those plans evolve other pieces of the puzzle. You see what you have on your water plan and the facilities necessary, so you end up with a facilities plan. You end up with a financing plan. These are all great documents. At the end of the day, though, of all this planning, there has to be implementation.
Right.
So it's a stepwise function to me. I think it's been a miss, and that's where I think the board is headed, and the board wants that involvement by staff as well as involvement in the specific committees with the board. And finance folks will do the finance part, and the water and sewer committees, they will look over it and provide input at the committee level. And then staff can go back and sharpen the pencil or come back to work, and we may have missed something or we need to add something, whatever it may be. And then that's growing organically here, mm-hmm. and we bring that forward. But a lot of the stuff, be it asset management, asset coalescence, and the like, to bring that forward to see a lot of where we're at and where we're going, we can't just willy-nilly pull things out of the air.
Right.
We need to definitely take these things step by step by step. And yes, it's expensive. It's something that hasn't been done, and it's something that we need to bring forward for the community to make sure that their assets are taken care of, and that's what we all want to do. So it's important to start with the strategic plan and any planning level work there, and then we can build on top of the foundation. One can look at it organically from the bottom up or the top down, where water will flow downhill, but any way you look at it, it's going to blossom into a good future for this district.
How much time do you think staff needs to start working with the board to come up with the data and to start working with the board so we can start putting together on a staff level, an implementation level, and a policy level?
Well, the legwork and the like for the planning is quite immense, actually. But policy level, that's, you know, the focus, direction, and the like of where the board, you know, representative, how that is done, and give direction to staff, and we can go out and pursue that. And I can have staff, direct staff to make certain that we're staying focused on what the board wants, and always reel back in and check in with the board. And the board then feels it's part of it and it's a stakeholder in this, and it brings all that forward. But time-wise, it will depend on the focus and direction that you want. But right now the palette's quite wide open as far as opportunities to bring something forward to the district, to the board. And it's important that we do this. This is very important work. And I don't like to do things twice. I want to do it once, try to do it really good once. Not that we can't revisit. The other part of that is, I talked about the different plans and implementation. The other part of that is, the implementation part is, you revisit this. This is evergreen. Mm-hmm. It's never old.
It's a living document.
And it's a living document, and living, breathing, as long as the right people are breathing that put it together. And you bring that forward, and it stays evergreen. Stuff happens, and you have to add and move and reprioritize, and that's appropriate on a planning level. And then you can make those adjustments, be it financial or facility or sewer, water, any of those parts of it, and you can bring all that forward. But it's in a very orderly fashion. The public will know what's coming. There's no surprises this way. There's nothing that says, well, where did that come from? There may have been a change in regulation that we didn't see coming. It happened. Well, we'll address it, but it's part of the process of planning our facilities and our plans that we do have. But we have to start with the bedrock of a good strategic plan. That's a strategy, and these pieces, this is what we want in our respective plans.
When do you think it'd be appropriate to schedule, or you may not know the answer to this right now, but when do you think it'd be appropriate to schedule a strategic planning session for the board?
Thanksgiving Day.
Thanksgiving Day? Karen will be here on Thanksgiving. Anybody else?
What did Karen say?
She said Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, Thanksgiving works. No, I think, a lot of the different things we can take input from the community, too, as far as providing workshop opportunities for input. But staff needs to first get together with, I need to work with you and find out where we're at and where we're going on this. And I think I've got good focus and direction, and I can provide that input to the board members, the ad hoc committee or committee of the whole. It's fine with me. But sometime in November, I think, would be appropriate. But, we do bump up at the end of the month against the holidays. So.
Right. Why don't we, our next meeting's on the 13th.
Not having a meeting on Thanksgiving Eve? Not having a second meeting in October?
On the 27th? Yeah, I would ask that we not do one on November.
So you're not having one meeting in November?
Yeah, I think we should. That's
President Guerrero, I think the next 2 months, specifically because of holidays and the like, the second meeting in November is bumps up against Thanksgiving, and the second meeting in December bumps up against
Christmas. Christmas Day.
Christmas holidays.
Santa Claus.
So I would strongly recommend that the board look at the schedule and make and cancel those particular meetings in the absence of any items that need to come and be presented to the board. We can always have a special board meeting, but
right. I would actually agree. I plan on being out of town on the 27th. So.
That's what I. Well, we could start it in January. Certainly.
Yeah, perhaps we should plan the first strategic planning meeting in January, because that gives you 67, 68 days to come up with the asset list, inventory list, life cycle spans.
I can pull together a good palette of information for you all to go through and start thinking about and bring that. And anything I have, as I build it, I can certainly provide that to you as it grows, and then you know, don't come to a committee and say, I don't know what's going on.
It's going to be kind of a magnum opus because of the amount of information. And some of it, yeah, you might have paid $3,000 for that 1982 diesel truck,
right,
but your next one's going to be $63,000.
Yeah.
And so knowing the initial cost and what we've expensed out, but the replacement cost is a whole different thing. And I think that what we're going to find when we start setting up this, I don't like the term pro forma, but this five-year budget, is we're going to find that we're many million dollars in the hole as well.
We may. And what Mr. Keefe brought forward was that, you know, had we had a replacement fund, a depreciation of existing capital, and then a replacement fund building, when that hit the end of the life cycle, its useful life, then there's a replacement budget that's already been building, and it's ready to go for that new purchase.
Correct.
And that we won't find ourselves, you know, short on that matter. Right now we are, but we, you know, to characterize it any way other than we need to just do business a different way, I'm not sure, you know, not to point fingers at where we've been, but where we're going, I think is a much safer and a better business model for this district.
To use Mr. Minery's term, it's hit the reset button.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no do-over.
Control Alt Delete. Yeah. Well, let's hit the
let's refresh.
Yeah, Mr.
President.
Refresh.
Yes.
Yeah, that's function five, I think.
Five. We could start tonight by spending 10 minutes on our mission statement, because I thought about, without seeing this mission statement, I thought about what would I write if I wrote a mission statement today. And although this is fancier worded, it's pretty close to what I would think is our responsibility. And if we could decide that this one is sufficient until after all the rest of this stuff is done, if this is the goal, which to me it seems like it is, so if we start with that tonight and decided, we don't want to change it, we do want to change it, then we could go back and rewrite it in 3 years when we know where we are, or 1 year, or 2 years, or 6 months. But we could use this as a guide to start with. I don't know. That's just a question. Could we use this as a guide to start with?
Yes, absolutely. And we don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Well, or maybe people want to change it.
I don't have any particular changes to the mission statement that I've thought of this evening, and I haven't compared it with other mission statements or...
Yeah. And this one we've had a while.
This one, I don't know when this one came into effect. I have no idea.
Does anybody know?
Probably.
I don't know when it did.
You know, Mr. President, Ms. Hudson was just showing me that the mission statement in your budget document for this year, and I guess from previous years, is just a little bit different from what was on your website. And the difference is where street lighting, where is it? Fire protection and street lighting services, parks and recreation, trash collection, and other miscellaneous. So I guess it's the parks and recreation is the real difference in trash collection. That's something that is included in your budget document in April of 2001. Okay.
Well, those are our responsibilities. What is it, the six?
Well, parks and recreation isn't, is it?
Yes.
Four, five, six.
Oh,
yes.
You've exercised that power? Okay.
Yeah. Well, we have
five powers.
Six.
Six.
Water, sewer, fire,
trash.
Street lighting, trash, and beaches. And
the trash is not a separate power. We are the fiscal agent for wastewater management. I mean,
waste management.
Waste management. It's not.
We approve the franchise.
Yeah, but it's not one of our powers.
Well, then maybe we should put these two mission statements together for you to. Well, I guess the chew on it was the comment by the president.
Let's pull them all the ones that we're currently using.
Yeah, yeah.
And pull those together, and if there's any exemplar mission statements that we want to take a look at, we can do. There's Cambria, there's Napoma, there's San Luis Obispo. There's, you know.
Well,
go ahead, Karen.
Mission statements are pretty simple. I mean, at what level would we change the mission statement? It says we're supposed to do our job as.
United.
I mean, if we spend the next 6 months working on the mission statement, we're never going to get the thing done.
Exactly. Try to do it in a non-negligent fashion.
I mean, I'm just going to other districts and looking for their mission statements is just a little over the top for me.
Yeah.
So I just want to get this done so we can go move forward as fast as we can.
Mr. Keefe did mention about it being succinct, and I was kind of curious as I was looking at ours and comparing with other districts, because I'm over the top.
That's why we have you with us.
I was wondering if we would be doing a vision as well, because if we do vision, then we can more project how we want to be, how we want to present ourselves, or how, you know, what we're working towards in a very vague, non-detailed way, you know, not with projects in hand, but just, you know, like we want to be transparent, or we want to be, you know, other things that we want to be. We want to plan ahead. If that's the case, I think that it would be pretty easy to use, you know, the mission statement that we have with the added words, the added powers, I mean. And then, because the mission statement that I wrote, assuming that we wouldn't be doing vision as well, included some of the vision things that I thought were important for our district. So I don't know. Are we going to do a vision as well that's more than exceptional public service?
And as you went over the top, what was your conclusion?
Well, I don't think it would be, I think it would be fine to do vision as well, because otherwise the mission statement does get pretty wordy.
Right.
And it is a way to focus.
Anyway.
Huh?
It needs to be updated anyway.
Yeah. And it is a way to focus maybe the things that we feel like need to be worked on or focused on at least.
Well, we're not solving this issue tonight. Why don't we think about it?
Okay.
I'll go over the top and look at the other ones too, because I've written mission statements for nonprofits, but I've never looked at a municipal, you know.
And we'll ask Mr. Minery.
Municipal services mission statement. The ones that I've worked on, it says, you know, who you are and what you're here for.
Yeah.
You know, we are by and for, you know, a group of people, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know as far as little local government. This is a means that we have created to sustain ourselves and.
Yeah. There is a link on this. Sorry.
Allow. Local control.
Yeah, the Board of Supervisors website, and I'll send the link to Mr. Curtis, and maybe he can send it out, but it does list all the other CSEs in the county, and that's kind of how I got through all their sites really easily, so I can pass that along. Sorry.
That's true.
And I'll ask Mr. Minery to let us know whether or not we have any notice requirements and something to the state if we start changing our mission statement, because Mary did have a concern about that and whether or not that create some obligation, affirmative obligation to have the CSD to do something.
Sure.
Thanks.
Yeah, I know it happens in other arenas, but I don't know this arena.
I'm not aware of anything right now, but I'll make sure.
It's a pretty esoteric question.
Right. So, but there might be, you know, if you're going to change your mission statement, please make an addendum to your mission and forward it on. I don't know.
I'll make sure. I don't know if any requirements
are
you can
use the mic, Jeff?
Oh, right.
At this point, I don't know any requirement that you would have to do that. I think that you do have the power to change your mission statement as you see fit, but I will make sure so that I can advise you with that knowledge.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Mr. President, I think, too, the vision statement and the mission statement, you know, they're a little hand in glove. And one's a little more focused than the other. But when you look, in addition to that, when you look at the different parts of what we're embarking upon here on the planning level, the water and sewer group, or the capital improvement group, there's a mission that they look at. Finance committee, they have a mission to really hone in on the financial aspect. Mm-hmm. So each group that's where they get more focused, more laser focused on what they're doing. Not that they don't care about the other things, but this is what we do. another committee does something different. And it keeps all of it in balance with one another, because at the end of the day, they're spokes on a wheel. And, you know, the hub being the strategic plan, the vision that turns this agency. So each one has a focus, and I think that's what we need to look at when we're looking at mission statements. What is our mission, the capital project? What's our mission as financial?
Okay? I agree. I think we've given some direction to staff. I think we've given a referral to the Water and Sewer Committee, Finance Committee, which is Jennifer and I. We'll start working on, because we know generally what they're going to be. There's going to be infrastructure improvements. We'll start identifying potential revenue sources. We don't have to have them locked down. But this way, a year from now or next summer, actually, when we're approving next year's budget, I think would be a real opportune time to have this up and running and ready to go for next year's budget.
Yeah.
When we're doing next year's budget, we'll know that, hey, we need to come up with so much money. And the finance committee will be coming up with ideas on how to come up with that money, and we'll, hopefully they get this thing working.
Sure,
I think that makes sense. And Rome wasn't built in a day, but 8 months maybe. So, all right. Any further discussion?
No.
All right. Well,
Mr. President.
Yes, please.
I'm sorry,
Mr. Keith.
You're going to hit me.
I can't read.
I didn't record any direction by this board. Okay. And neither did Marie. So if you feel like you've taken direction, you need to clarify that. And in my opinion, taking direction means that you vote on something and you do it formally.
Okay. Well, I think what was rolling around in the can here was that the staff would work on recommendation number 3, which was the identification of needs. And that would be in conjunction, well, in part, I think, with some oversight with the Water and Sewer Committee, because our core function is water and sewer. And so the Water and Sewer Committee would check in and review those and work together with the...
Can you ask staff to set a meeting, schedule for a meeting?
Yeah, we can schedule a meeting.
Yeah.
Sure. And then... part of that, of course, adds to Jocelyn's busy schedule to start laying out the spreadsheet, or I call it a spreadsheet more than a pro forma, but laying out the spreadsheet that'll identify these. The sewer plants is one page, but each line might have 100 supporting pages or 2 supporting pages, depending upon whatever it particularly is, but that doesn't have to be included at this time. So does
we
that make
need all that many details? This is going to cost a lot of money.
Well, how else are you going to identify the valve maintenance program and the capital replacement program?
We could do like our rich neighbors and hire consultants.
No.
Make a list.
No.
Have you seen the sewer plants budget?
Yeah.
Their pro forma? Okay.
No.
Perhaps
but
we...
I get the idea of what you're doing, but every nut and bolt...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, not every nut and bolt, but every valve.
Yeah.
Every roof.
Yeah.
Every pump.
Meter.
Every meter. Yeah.
Every meter.
Yep.
Yeah. It all has to be replaced.
Got to know which ones are working.
I know.
It is expensive. That's what Gary's.
Yeah.
That's what Gary was saying.
Strategic planning.
Because one of the problems is. Not problems. One of the weaknesses, I should say, that I noted in the 2009 strategic planning session was it identified some great needs. Of course, they never got executed, but it didn't have a real paradigm of the district operations. It just identified specific projects, and those are just priorities. Those are prioritization of what this will identify. Would be my thought.
Great. Well, it's something I'm excited.
Yeah.
And then that would be the direction of staff and water and sewer. The direction of finance committee would be to start identifying potential revenue sources.
Yes.
So that makes sense, Marie. Were you able to catch that? She's nodding. Okay.
And then, are we going to work on the mission statement and or vision in a regular meeting? That seems
Why don't we do that in the regular meeting?
Doable.
That seems like a board issue, and we'll ask the board to consider that.
Mm-hmm.
So
can
that would
I ask
be
staff to schedule, pull the water and sewer field guys and see
yes.
What would be the best time for them?
Yes.
And then we'll...
Before the 5th, hopefully.
So as convoluted as that was, that'll be my motion.
I'll second that.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay.
Hey, thanks for doing this work.
Carries 5-0.
That was really great work. Thanks, Jocelyn.
That was Gary.
Gary.
Oh, thanks, Gary.
Gary's going to make us miss him. All right, we'll move on to item number 11. Utility items are none. Closed session on that agenda, there's none. Board member comments, are there any board member comments this evening? I have a couple, but I've been talking too much. So.
I do have a board member comment. You know, as the fall comes on, you know, there's certain things that some of us like to do and stuff. I like to make squash soup, you know, and go eat pancakes at the Oceano Depot.
Yeah.
And Martin Basti, he works for, is he retired from the sheriff's now?
Yeah,
well, he can flip a hot cake like nobody's business. So on November 3rd, the Oceano Depot is having another pancake breakfast. Sausage, eggs, pancakes, good coffee,
orange
juice. And it's a time, you know, where we kind of get together and hang out and have breakfast and get to see the neighbors you haven't seen for a while and stuff like that. And it's just a nice time. So I have the flyer up there. It's Sunday, November 3rd. And then keep in mind, too, is that we will be having a flag-raising ceremony at the Oceano Depot, and I'll have to come back to you on the dates. I think it's on the 10th, a flag-raising ceremony.
That's it.
At 11 a.m. on November 10th for all the people who have lived in a veteran's household or been affected by war or just an American who cares or not.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a really great event, and I've been to it a couple of years in a row, and it's very moving. Start my week off nice.
I have something that actually somebody from the fire department brought to my attention. Every year, Grover Beach has a Christmas parade. Mm-hmm. And the Oceano Fire Department, or somebody in that group, the old Oceano Fire Department, has a fire truck. Mm-hmm. And that fire truck could be in the parade with some people representing Oceano on the fire truck in the parade in Grover City, Grover Beach.
Okay, let's do it.
I was thinking more like those of you with kids and grandkids and appropriately costumed in Santa hats, but I don't know who to contact in the fire department.
Huh?
You have to think.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought I would mention that we need to look forward to that if we want to.
Let's do it. Let's get enrolled in it. I think Brian Leathers, mm-hmm. Captain Leathers, is he's the one that has been restoring the truck. I was going to go see him this weekend, actually, about that. Karen Ray, the new 4th District Supervisor, said to me, I don't know why you guys aren't out there promoting yourself. You should be in the Christmas parade. You've got that old fire truck in the station. Why aren't you on it? I had the same exact conversation.
Well, I think there was an issue with they wanted to do some maintenance to it or something. Maybe we can get around to it.
And I'll go talk to Mr. Leathers about that.
Yeah.
If I can help, I will. Lori, do you have any board member comment?
Nope.
Jennifer? All right. And I already started I did have a discussion. I got a call from Karen Ray, our new 4th District Supervisor, I think it was last night. It was either last night or Monday night. And she wanted to know, she's trying to identify what it is that Oceano needs and how to assist in Oceano, what direction does Oceano want to go in. So she's expressing an active interest.
Get our list out.
Yeah, she had a copy of the specific plan and the Lisa Weiss consulting information, and she was going through that and had some questions for me. And so she and I are going to get together
and talk about that some more. Just prior to her getting sworn in, she had called me and wanted to know a list of the most
important
needs that Oceano had. And so she's expressed a real concern, and she said she wants to make connections in the community and support Oceano. So I thought
well,
it was very
that would be a nice change.
I know that that she does make herself available to ratepayers of Oceano. I don't know about the rest of the surrounding areas, but on Thursday she is down and she is open for appointments for the people who live in the geographic area of Oceano.
That's great.
She's so. The substation?
Yes.
Yes, Thursday's at the substation.
You can call her office, make an appointment.
I saw her today, but it was totally unrelated. But, received written communications and late received written communications, none. Future agenda items, we have a bunch. Lonnie, is there anything you see you want to add on here?
We're going to be busy for quite some time.
Oh, right.
I think so. I think we will. Let's move to the closed session item. We do have a special meeting that is running concurrent. I'll take public comment on the closed session item. I see Ms. Tacker coming forward. Good evening.
Also, closed session at the end of public's at the end of the meeting too.
Yeah, but I ran out of time, and I'm probably the only one who would have done that.
Good evening again.
Thank you. I'm Julie Tacker, and this particular case I thought was taken off your agenda last meeting, and I really like this feature that's been added to the website, and that's the report out of closed session. There was a report of no reportable action on that item, but you didn't consider it, is my recollection. Also, the date's wrong. But what, and then the other item that you did consider in closed session is not on the report. So that's kind of a little bit of a glitch. But with regard to this case, the Langstaff case, I would like to see something that you can report, how the reimbursements are going. I'm curious, do any of you need to be deposed or have you been deposed? What's the court dates? Where's the court? Some of the things that are around the case. I know you can't speak to the specifics of the case, but dates and times and the things that are public record you can talk about. So that would be interesting. Certainly I know a lot of legal time has gone into it, investigations and things that all came at a cost, and I'd like to know what that cost was, and if indeed reimbursements are coming your way, or how much out of pocket has it hurt the district. So thanks a bunch.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, we'll close public comment at this time. This is closed session, conference with legal counsel regarding existing litigation, paragraph 1 of subdivision D of section 54956.9. Name of case, Langstaff versus OCSD et al., United States District Court for the Central District of California, case number CV 12-8541 ABC (PLAX). It is 8:10 p.m. and we'll adjourn into closed session at this time.